Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I'm Lauren Berry, and welcome to On Deadline, where Odyssey does a deep dive into a single topic with audio from our radio newsrooms across the country.
The U.S. continues to strike boats coming from Venezuela, which the Trump administration claims are used to smuggle drugs. A troop buildup is also underway in the region. The United States has massed numerous warships and around 15,000 soldiers in the Caribbean, and now its most advanced aircraft carrier, the USS Gerald Ford, has also arrived there.
We have to think that missing on everyone's 2025 bingo card was a potential U.S. war with tiny Venezuela. And yet, here we are. After at least 21 U.S. attacks on Venezuelan ships that were allegedly transporting drugs across the Caribbean, President Donald Trump is reportedly weighing whether to move onto attacking them on land. So far, the bombings of Venezuelan boats have killed an estimated 80 people. That's as the Trump administration has continued to significantly expand the U.S. military's presence in Latin America, deploying F-35 aircraft, warships, and a nuclear submarine, plus the arrival of our largest aircraft carrier, the USS Gerald R. Ford, in the Caribbean Sea. That's a lot of firepower against a country that's roughly the size of Texas and Oklahoma combined. So, how did we get here? For more on what's happening in Venezuela,
Marco Aponte Moreno, USC Marshall School of Business professor. He specializes in cross-cultural negotiations. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. And what is the plan? What's the end game as far as you can see?
Yes. So I think there are two things going on at the same time. There's definitely a legitimate interest from the Trump government to attack or tackle the drug problem. This is a reality and it's happening. But the second thing that's going on that behind that is the possible regime change in Venezuela.
Is there any disagreement within the Trump administration over how to proceed and those goals that you just talked about?
Yes. So in terms of the first one, the way it is being handled, it's basically bombing little boats that they think have drug dealers in. But as far as we know, nobody's sure whether those were drug dealers or not. So that's one thing. And in terms of the regime change, the idea is to there's this huge display, and it's been building up for the past few weeks. And ideally, there would be a break within the Venezuelan army so that they can do the regime change themselves. So that would be the ideal situation. Now, a possible outcome of this would be an actual intervention in Venezuela.
Well, how has the Venezuelan government been responding?
Yes, so there have been a lot of military exercises all over Venezuela in the past week. They ended today, and there's a huge deployment of the Venezuelan army on the northern coast of the country where the Caribbean Sea is.
Now, is there an off-ramp? Is there a negotiation to happen, or will it continue to ramp up until you think the Trump administration gets to their goals?
Yes, so there have been multiple negotiations over the years. At this point, from what we know, they have been talking to the president of Venezuela, offering possible places where he could go if the government was overthrown. And places that they're talking about, Turkey is one, Cuba is another one, and possibly Russia. So, yeah, there have been negotiations, but, you know, again, the negotiations with the Maduro regime is a dictatorship. It's been in power for many years, have always ended in frustration.
If there is a regime change, who would be the new leader?
Yeah, so July of last year, July 28th, Venezuela had an election, and we elected in Venezuela. So we elected a new president, Edmundo González, by 70% of the vote. And the election was, and the results weren't recognized by the Maduro regime, and they announced different results, and Maduro stayed in power. So the idea is that if there's a regime change, Edmundo González, who is backed by the leader of the Venezuelan opposition, who is Maria Corina Machado, who won the Nobel Peace Prize this year, they will take power.
All right, Professor, we really appreciate your time this afternoon.
For more, we're joined by Dr. Evan Ellis, Research Professor of Latin American Studies at the U.S. Army War College. Dr. Ellis, good to talk with you today. You read the tea leaves here. Are we heading toward a possible combat activity between the U.S. and Venezuela?
Well, I think we're heading towards something. President Trump, of course, had said that he, for the moment, isn't committed to land strikes. And, of course, so you see the president.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Is the one who always decides, often in a very unpredictable way. Although certainly with the Ford carrier battle group there, I think that expands the Joint Task Force commander's options. I think it's likely if the president does commit to it, you could see perhaps some initial land strikes, perhaps against military targets tied with the drugs from the Cartel de los Solas, perhaps the military command targets. I think at some point in the future, perhaps we're talking weeks, you could see a larger strike designed to take out the leadership of the Cartel de los Solas, which could open up the possibility for the restoration of the democratic government of Edmundo González. But for me, regime change and restoration of democracy is not the primary effort here of the president.
How militarized is the cartel, or should I say are the cartels, in Venezuela? Do they actually have military outposts?
They don't. The cartels are essentially, Cartel de Solas is a criminal franchise where all of the activities, the drugs, the illegal mining, the extortion of remittances and things all flow up to the military leadership. And it's believed, of course, to Maduro and other folks. However, the real issue, although it's not a major issue, is, of course, the Venezuelan defenses, the air defenses. You have the traditional military of about 90,000 people. You have a reserve. You have a Bolivarian Guard. And you have a larger, although highly untrained, larger force. You have some, you know, more or less capable Russian air defense missiles, the S-300s, and you have some recently delivered items to defend those. You have some older generation Sukhoi 30 aircraft. And so it's really the conventional Venezuelan forces at Maduro's disposition more than anything else that would be the threat to any U.S. Activity.
If there was U.S. activity, what would you expect? Would it be airstrikes against targets? Might we actually see boots on the ground, American boots on the ground in Venezuela?
Well, I would anticipate, if that happens, two phases. Number one, I think you could see some initial strikes. They might be by Tomahawks or others, perhaps some special operations activity, maybe with 160th SOAR, that you designed to, again, to signal our willingness to go against land targets and especially Maduro leadership targets. If that doesn't lead to essentially the end of the Cartel de Solis, people taking matters into their own hands, I think then at some point, maybe in a couple weeks, you could see a larger operation. I think it would be brief, decisive, without enduring boots on the ground, and what that larger operation would look like would likely be, you know, first a massive operation with, you know, Tomahawks, electronic jamming things against, basically taking down the air defenses, and then you that would be when you would see the carrier strike group and the F-18s and others, and perhaps complemented by, you know, B-1s, B-2s, B-52s, and others brought in, you know, from continental United States, and that would probably at that point be where you also, once the air defenses were down, once the Venezuelans were blind and confused, you would perhaps see the use of the amphibious operations, bringing in Marines by LCACs, by the V-22s and others, essentially in coordination with people on the ground in Venezuela to snatch and grab the key Maduro leadership. That doesn't mean it would be successful, or at least entirely successful, but that's what I would anticipate, you know, some initial operations, perhaps now relatively low risk, but if there was a larger operation, again, it would be massive, and it would basically follow essentially the blinding and taking out of those defenses. And then to the degree that was successful and you had a legitimate Edmundo Gonzalez, it might be that regime then invited the U.S. to continue to participate going after Cartel de los Solis targets in Venezuela after that. But that would be a matter of, you know, things that could happen in 2026.
But can the U.S. do this? Does this amount to a war? Can the president unilaterally do it without the approval of Congress? How does that work?
Well, you know, certainly the president has talked about essentially hostilities against this group, a non-international conflict. But, you know, whether that is a war or not, demanding the invocation of the War Powers Act, I'll leave that in the hands of the lawyers and the politicians. But certainly that has been a key item for discussion.
While the attacks on Venezuelan boats appear to be ongoing, a window may be opening for diplomacy with President Nicolas Maduro. Maduro said on state TV that he'll talk to anyone who wants to talk to Venezuela face to face. He also added this: "We affirm that only through diplomacy should free countries and governments understand each other, and only through dialogue should they seek common ground on issues of mutual interest." U.S. Senate Democrats will tell you that dialogue is something they wanted, too. Here was their reaction when they found out there were attacks, and that they weren't included in the briefings. And here's some more from CBS's Margaret Brennan, host of Face the Nation, on KCBS.
Senator Mark Warner is the ranking Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee. What are his concerns about briefings on these boat strikes?
Well, he is the ranking Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee. That means he's one of the Gang of Eight. That is the eight people in the co-equal branch of government, Congress, who are supposed to understand and know the details of the most classified operations U.S. intelligence and U.S. military is conducting. That's to provide oversight. He says Democrats have been completely left out of this. The Gang of Eight, and just this week, private briefings that were given only to a handpicked number of Senate Republicans. And he's pretty fired up about it because it certainly doesn't allow for oversight. And it's picking and choosing who to share information with. That's not how the system was designed to work. And so we're going to talk to him about that, but also what's happening in the state of Virginia. He has so many federal workers there. And the pain
just tradition really that the ranking reached. Minority party is included, or is it somewhere in the bylaws or a law?
Well, when it comes to the Gang of Eight, it's certainly tradition that the top eight lawmakers get the details. In terms of the committees, there is also that expectation. There are also statutes and really a requirement, at least when you go to war, but also when you take action short of war, certain types of military action, that you need to share with Congress those details. So even if the president's not asking for permission to go to war, something the president says he's not asking to do here, it is a protocol, it is policy, it is a statutory expectation that there is information provided. Now, some Republicans are arguing, as is the White House, that the president has broad powers here under Title II of the Constitution. But there are many very concerned here that the legal premise, particularly of these strikes on alleged drug boats and the movement of an aircraft carrier, which would suggest land strikes, that there is a line being crossed, and concern that if this is truly about regime change, that the United States could get embroiled in something much bigger. So that is why lawmakers are stomping their feet on this one.
Some experts believe that these attacks on Venezuelan ships are actually a pretext for forcing Maduro from power. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio went so far as to announce that Cartel de los Soles, a criminal organization that the Trump administration claims is headed by Maduro, is a, quote, foreign terrorist organization. Here's more from Tommy Tucker on WWL in New Orleans on these allegations that the attacks are about something other than drug trafficking.
Is it akin to having a cannon killing a fly? I don't know. Let's find out as we're joined by David Smile, the professor of sociology at Tulane University, who's studied Venezuela for 30 years, living there for 16. Good morning, professor. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Tell me, why is the U.S. ramping up military pressure on Venezuela?
Well, it's a good question, because this is being framed as an anti-drug operation, you know, and this is something that Trump, there was a campaign promise of Trump's, and this is indeed a concern of American citizens that if you go to any big urban center, you will see areas in which there are all kinds of people that are under the effects of fentanyl and in the streets, and there's a big problem with overdoses. And so this is being framed as an anti-narcotics campaign, and they are indeed blowing these boats out of the water on the idea that they are bringing drugs to the United States. The problem with this explanation is that Venezuela is not a major player in the drug trade, and it's not even less of a major player in drugs coming to the United States. Less than 10% of the cocaine that comes to the United States comes through Venezuela. Most of the drugs that go through Venezuela go to Europe, and none of the fentanyl, no fentanyl comes from Venezuela. There's no recorded case of fentanyl ever coming from Venezuela. And so it's not really a major player there. So what is this about? Well, I think this is Trump fulfilling a campaign promise. He said he was going to bomb the cartels. This plays well with his base. No, and it's a country that's sort of a pariah nation that's just stigmatized after the stolen election that we could talk about last year. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is sort of the open or the first justification of it. But I think behind this is also a real desire for regime change. And Marco Rubio is, the Secretary of State, as well as the National Security Advisor for the Trump administration. He has long pushed for regime change in Venezuela. And so this is sort of a repurposing of the war on drugs for a regime change effort in Venezuela.
It would seem like there's a more efficient way. We're all concerned with spending, right? But it would seem like there's a more efficient way than an aircraft carrier to deal with boats that are transporting drugs, if that's your goal. And secondly, it would seem as though that to bring about a regime change, that would be something that would be done internally, perhaps with the CIA and not with an aircraft carrier. That's what confuses me.
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, there are well-established procedures for drug interdictions. The Coast Guard has been doing this for years, and actually this past year there's been a record number of seizures of drugs. Now, this is all framed in sort of the war on drugs, which we can debate the effectiveness of this, but there are well-established procedures. There's well-established legal reasoning around this. All of what's going on is on very, very dubious legal grounds, suggesting that these drug traffickers or these drug, the pilots of these drug boats are themselves narco-terrorists out to do damage to the United States. The journalists have followed up on some of the boats that have been bombed and their families. And most of these people are fishermen. They were running drugs, but they were doing it for extra cash. These are not terrorists. And so yeah, it's kind of breaks off with that. This is a hugely expensive campaign. I think, mainly it's political theater. It's also to try and scare Nicolas Maduro, to try to get to cause regime change there, try to psych him out, see if they can get him to resign. by putting these assets. But I also think, you know, there's also a broader sort of geopolitical context. And what's going on in Venezuela is not isolated. You remember that we started the year with Trump threatening to take over the Panama Canal. No, he went since sort of reconciled with Panama. Or recently he's mixed it up with President Petro in Colombia. No, and now, so this is also being seen beyond Venezuela as sort of a change in U.S. relations in the region. Now, some people are calling this the Monroe Doctrine, you know, which is a play on words, because in the 19th century, we had the Monroe Doctrine, in which the U.S. tried to make sure that the Europeans didn't have influence in our region. Now it's more China that the U.S. is concerned, the Trump administration is concerned about. And so this is, people are trying to interpret this as thinking about this as a new stage in U.S. sort of predominance in the region, and its efforts to make sure that people know that it controls things here. Now, it's also accompanied by positive relations with countries that, you know, support Trump. So Javier Milei of Argentina has got a $20 billion, you know, rescue package for his economy just before some elections. There's also been a very positive relationship with El Salvador, the Trump administration. So he's definitely focusing a lot on the region. He wants to show sort of strength, be tough with his enemies, and really helpful to his friends. And so it's sort of, we're in a sort of a new stage of geopolitics in the region.
Tell me about Maduro and the stolen election, if you will, please.
Okay, yeah. So back in 2023, the United States brokered some agreements with Maduro government, basically suggesting that they would go to a democratic election, a fair democratic election. Of course, they broke many of the agreements, but they did end up sort of stumbling their way to a democratic election. And that one of the things that they did that broke the agreement was they disqualified Maria Corina Machado. So you might recognize that name because she recently won the Nobel Peace Prize. Mm-hmm. She was the dominant opposition leader and the leader of the polls. They disqualified her from the presidential race, so she got a substitute candidate, which she supported, and that substitute candidate won 70% of the vote. No, the Maduro government did not recognize that election. No, and she basically just said, oh, no, where our numbers show that we won the election. It was just a very open fraud that nobody believed. And since then, they've cracked down on the opposition. They've cracked down on civil society. Most of the opposition leaders are outside of the country now, and you have a situation in which you know, people I still make contact with in Venezuela, because I haven't been there since that election, you know, say that people don't talk about politics in the street. You know, people, you know, there's a lot of distrust, and it's really difficult economically. People are just basically trying to you know, put food on the table and keep their head down and working and trying to get you know, make a go of it. So it is it's a really bad situation in Venezuela right now with Maduro and with the economy. No, and this stolen election has just really exacerbated it. And this is, you know, one of the things to remember behind all this is what's going on with Venezuelans. I mean, there's a great need for a solution, and it's not just going to come magically from the inside, but it's not going to come magically from the outside either. There needs to be some sort of multilateral effort to try and get Venezuela back on track, rather than just sort of United States trying to be the regional policeman.
Yeah, this is our business. Why? That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. Because Venezuela is not, a main drug supplier of the United States. I think you could say geopolitically, Venezuela is an important place for the United States, given its deep oil reserves and mineral wealth. There's that going on. But other than that, all of these stories about you know, Nicolas Maduro controlling the train de Aragua, that they're penetrating the United States. I mean, all of that is really, you know, borderline fiction. I mean, there's always a little grain of truth there, but it's completely blown out of proportion. No, Nicolas Maduro does not control the train de Aragua. They are not invading the United States. There are some Venezuelan immigrants that have caused, got involved in crime. But we know over the years, statistics show, all the studies we have show that immigrants commit fewer crimes than people that are born in the country. And that's the case in the United States, and that's the case virtually everywhere. And so a lot of this is really just a background of this is the stigmatization of immigrants, no stigmatization of immigrants from Latin America in particular. It plays really well with Trump's base. And so
You know, that is, I don't really see that there's a whole lot of U.S. interest here. There are some interests in Venezuela that want to get back to democracy, and there's some geopolitical interests, but I think those could be treated in a quite different way.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
The outcome is, of course, unknown. But some say the U.S. attacks are working. David Smolansky, an advisor to the Venezuelan opposition leader and Nobel Peace Prize winner Maria Corina Machado, told CNN, quote, "They are cracking." Actually, they are cracking. And there is a lot of tension and mistrust among themselves. But how far will we go? Here's the Mark Cox Show talking about U.S. military options short of an all-out war.
Well, you know, we just saw this amazing election in Bolivia, which is a country that has been immersed in this, you know, socialist communist ideology. And it was actually kind of ground zero for the leftist movement in Latin America. And the country just said, yeah, no thanks. We're done.
Well, right. What about the buildup of our military and around Venezuela and the fact that we're taking out these drug boats? We take out more and more of them. I don't know how many. It's in the teens now, right?
Yeah.
15, 16 of them?
Well, on the drug thing, you got to work. And this is a fine entry-level thing, because when you start doing this stuff, you're putting pressure on the organization, and then they have to start an adapted chain. But what you really have to do is work your way up the value chain. I mean, because, these guys that are getting... getting rid of those guys is not going to dent into the cartel. And so this puts pressure on the cartels. It sends a strong message. It disrupts them. But then what you have to do, like we do, is you have to work your way up the value chain and start taking people out, taking away their money, taking away their leaders.
Yes.
That's really going to degrade that. So the other thing is Cash Patel going to China and getting a deal with the Chinese to cut off the precursors. That is the other end of starting to, burning the candle from both ends, starting to pressure these guys. So that's perfect. And then then what happens is, as you do this, what's going to happen is people are going to flip. People are going to start offering and cutting deals. This is exactly how we went after the mob in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
You think of the guys, the putting the guys in and getting people and starting to flip at the lower level, and then they flip on the higher guys, and then you start to just walk your way up the value chain and take out the network. This is the same strategy, and so it's going in the right direction. So I'm all in for that. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what the end game is in Venezuela. When you send the most powerful aircraft carrier in the universe and you park it outside their waters, that's kind of, I'm sure, scare the hell out of a lot of people.
I would think.
So the Trump is like not into regime change and nation building and all that. My guess is he's just trying to really, ramp up the pressure.
Right.
So that the people inside the regime just crack. That's my guess, but I don't know. I would not be surprised if Trump does Connecticut's inside Venezuela.
Wow.
I don't know if that's the plan, but ratcheting it up in that way, that would not surprise me. What Trump has done with these hits on the boats is he's now tested the waters on the limits of what he can get away with, both in terms of domestic support and international response. And he's been pretty successful so far. So taking that next step and maybe doing kinetic hits inside the country, if he wants to go that next step, he's probably laid the groundwork for that. I don't
know. Yes.
Jim, isn't there a larger play here with the China involvement in the China trade deals that they do with Venezuela, including oil and other things? Don't you think that's also part of the bigger play here to kind of tell them Monroe documents, stay out of our backyard?
Well, absolutely. The goal at the end of the day is to diminish the influence of the cartels, which are a direct national security threat, the Chinese engagement in the region, the Russian engagement in the region, and all the deep Islamist networks like Hamas and Hezbollah have had.
Yep.
So the president's goal at the end of the day is to make our home team ground safe. And so diminishing all of those, that is the end state that he seeks. And what we're picking up as part of that is more partners. So we have Argentina. We're going to get Chile. Bolivia's turned our way. Eventually Colombia will, and Brazil. And it'll be a much more safer neighborhood.
Let's hope. Anyway, Jim Carafano, appreciate you as always, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of On Deadline, written and produced by Christy Strouser and by me. You can subscribe to On Deadline and keep up with the latest news on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.